we present My Music, a musical panel game devised by Edward J. Mason and Tony Schreiber. And here to introduce the teams is Steve Race.
Thank you very much. There's a breathless hush on the stage tonight. 10 to make and the match to win. A bumping pitch and a blinding light. Half an hour to play and John Amis in. And apart from John, beside him, Frank Muir. And their opponents, Ian Wallace and Dennis Norton. Forgive the cricketing poem, but John's question has a sportif association of a very direct kind. So, John, first question to you as usual. What is this?
Rugger.
By?
Honegger.
That's right. Or Rugby.
Yes, it was a Swiss composer.
Yes.
Very distinguished.
It was Honegger.
A very nice occasion when, Louis Levy, who was the great man of Gaumont British Symphony Orchestra, although perhaps not so well known outside, but he was very much king in his own empire. Indeed. And one day Honegger came while they were recording some music of his for a film. And Levy called down the telephone. Is that you, Honegger? Mr. Levy, yeah?
Yes. He did like to be called Mr. Levy in general.
I'm sure Muir Matheson wouldn't have done that.
Oh,
No. Anyway, Rugby or Le Rugby by Honegger. You have a mark. Frank, some music by Galuppi introduces your question. Frank, what can you tell me about a toccata of Galuppi's? A toccata of Galuppi's.
It's Italian for a punnet of strawberries.
It does sound like a collective.
It's also it's a poem by Robert Browning.
That's it. There's a line that can't... I looked up the poem by Browning. It's called a toccata of Galuppi's.
When the kissing has to stop.
That's right. When the kissing had to stop comes from that poem. Ian, talking of toccatas. Whose toccata, Ian, and from which of his works?
Ah, yes, it's a Vidor.
Yes.
This has really become one of the bursts on the organ that takes place at the end of weddings.
That's right.
I've noticed quite a few weddings I've been to where they've gone out to Vidor rather than Mendelssohn or Wagner.
A certain royal wedding started that, didn't they? They chose that.
Yes, I think so. It's from his... it's from one of his organ symphonies. Mm,
that's right.
And there's a terrifying moment in it. Oh, number five. terrifying moment in it if you're playing this record on the radio, as I've done in one or two record programs, that it suddenly goes terribly quiet in the middle.
You're apt to say, well, that was Vidor.
Yes, and next week.
Is that the same as King Vidor?
Only for royal weddings.
Dennis, here's a toccata by Paradis, played on the harpsichord by George Malcolm. Dennis, how are the sounds actually produced from a harpsichord?
How is it actually...
Yes, how is the sound produced? I mean, on the piano, I play you a note, a hammer hits a string. What happens in the harpsichord?
It was a lot slower than the ones that he played, though, wasn't it? Well, it takes pluck.
It takes pluck.
Yeah. On a piano, they bash the wires, but on a harpsichord, the instrument sort of plucks it.
Yes, that's right. Quills or leather points, actually. Just
claws.
Yes, pluck the string.
You're all right.
Let's move on to some musical technicalities. John, up to you again. How far is the hum note from the strike note?
Well, it depends whether it's wet or not.
A wet day. Is he playing for time, I suspect?
The hum from the strike.
The hum note and the strike note, yes. They are actually two of the five principal partial tones in a well-tuned bell.
Good.
Well, I'll tell you what I'll do. For half a mark, I'll play you the hum note, then the strike note, and then the others, right? Here we go. It's the hum note, strike note, and then the others. So from to is?
Octave.
An octave, yes. Well, half a mark, because it was a jolly difficult question.
God, that's
wasn't
interesting,
it?
Isn't it? I didn't know that.
Well, here's something else you won't. Frank, what do musicians mean when they talk about the supertonic? Supertonic.
Oh, it comes with a gin already in it. It's a leading note. It comes one before the top.
No, we've gone wrong, John.
No, I beg your pardon.
We've gone wrong, John.
Yeah, sorry.
It'd be like Archie Andrews.
One over the eight.
One over the eight.
Yes.
It is above the tonic.
I will play the tonic, and if John can sing the supertonic, you've got a mark, right? Here's the...
Dang!
No, here's the...
Dang! Oing! 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 Oing!
It's all right.
I don't think we really want much of that.
The supertonic being the second degree of the scale. Right. Ian, over to you. A book of 1825 refers to an instrument called the cylindricord. What sort of thing would that be?
Oh, dear. The only thing I can think of, and I'm sure I'm wrong, would it be anything like an instrument called a polyphon? Which I, when I used to sing at Glyndebourne, I stayed in a house in Ringmer, and they had a polyphon, which was sort of glass, and behind it was a large round metal where you put in these metal plates. And it played them.
That was
when
the
it
dishwasher.
Went
you made off metal plates,
and it played things like, you know, "Love's Old Sweet Song," and it was a beautiful tone.
Yes.
And in fact, I once made a recording of it and played it on the air. Lovely polyphon.
Yes, you visualise the cylindricord as being cylindrical. It's a variant of the Apollonicon, a sort of automatic piano. You're in quite right. A contemporary advertisement for the cylindricord says, "Quadrilles, waltzes, minuets, and country dances may be performed upon it by a child or a servant."
Had a large top, does it?
In other words, by a second-rate person. Dennis, what do you suppose an ottavino might be? Ottavino.
Well, that's obviously mulled wine. You get vino and make it otter. I suppose it might be something to do with music.
It might indeed, yes. And for that you get a mark for
right.
a piece of technical information.
You were only asking for my supposition, not for the answer.
That's right. What do you suppose, I said.
That's
yes,
right.
And that's what you suppose. It's an octave spinet.
Right.
Date spinet. Date 1640. I'm going to turn to 90 degrees to the piano. I'm going to play you some middles. John, you first. Yours is very brief. What does this come from the middle of? Ready? Here we go.
Well, it could be...
No, I'll play you the bit that comes just before it.
La da da
da.
Got it? Yes.
La da da da.
Yes.
La da di.
La da da da.
In other words, John,
Adele's laughing song.
Yes, from...
From the Fledermaus.
The Fledermaus, yes. Well, you get...
Batty question.
Right, another middle bit, Frank, of a rather different kind. This is for you.
Comes you that goes with your hair. You certainly
sang, when you
know.
Sang Moonlight. I thought you were holding your ears on with the bottom D. Moonlight becomes you, a mark, yes. Ian, what is this from the middle section of?
Got to be rather careful up there.
Yeah. And then
it's
that's what I played. Yeah.
Well, I know what it is.
What is it?
It's a polonaise by Chopin.
Thank you. It's the one that goes. That's right.
I enjoyed doing that.
Yes. Yes. Mark, to you. Dennis, what does this come from? It's a middle again.
"'Twas just a garden in the rain."
Got it.
Yes.
That's right.
Actually written by two people whose very names always seem to bring pleasure to listeners.
That's right.
Because the music was by Carol Gibbons and the lyric, but we might remember Jimmy Dirrenforth.
Oh, yes. That's right.
Yes, he wrote the words of that.
A very smooth voice.
Nice. Yes. Two Americans in London.
Yes, that's right. Yes, indeed. And Carol Gibbons, I don't know about Jimmy Dirrenforth. Let it be remembered that Carol Gibbons, when war broke out, was in America and came back to England. Mm. Which is quite the reverse journey from those made by certain others.
Do you remember?
This is Carol Gibbons, yes. Savoy Orpheus.
Right. Hello, everybody.
And do you remember his signature tune? On the air, of course.
All gone. Great days.
Great days, right. This is a blue round. Blue. John. Which note of the scale is most likely to be a blue note?
The third.
The third, yes, the median. And here's a good example of the use of the blue third. Anybody happen to know the name of that saxophone player? Frank? Dennis? Do you know? No. Anybody in the audience know? Yes, Johnny Hodges it was.
Well
Johnny
done,
Hodges
sir.
With Duke Ellington. Thank you, sir. Thank
I
you.
Listened to a piece the other day, O Lord, Arise into Thy Dwelling Place, Thomas Weelkes, and it's got more and better blue notes in it than that piece has.
Well,
the old boys used them quite a lot.
Well,
and
you call
them false relations, which is rather nice.
Yes, I'm coming to that in a future
oh,
week.
Oh, sorry.
I'm going to ask Frank.
Forget I said it.
An example of a false relation. Yes. Frank, your question, though. I've got the blues, people sing. I've got the blues. How old, would you guess, is that use of the word blue, to have the blues?
Put a funny question. It's either 70 years or it isn't. Or it's much.
Well, it isn't. No,
yeah.
It's not 70
Well, it must
years.
Be much earlier.
Yes.
It could be, I suppose, 100 years.
Yes.
Because of the influence of plantation music in
yes.
Europe.
I must give you the mark. It's more than that. Interesting, actually. Ira Gershwin, in his book, Lyrics on Special Occasions, he quotes the line, "He was still under the influence of a whole legion of the blues." It sounds to me like P.G. Woodhouse, actually. "He was still under the influence of a whole legion of the blues." Washington Irving, 1807. Mm. It's unbelievable, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
So at least 1.5 centuries old. Mark, do you
know? There was an 18th century expression to have the blue devils, which was to be gloomy.
Hmm.
Elizabeth Schumann told a story that she went to a rehearsal. Arthur Nikisch was conducting the orchestra, and he was playing Brahms, and he said, "No, gentlemen, no, gentlemen, play it more blue." And Elizabeth Schumann said, "I thought, how can they play blue?" And then they played, and it was blue.
You were telling me, Dennis, about a song title to do with blues, weren't you?
Yes, Viv Stanshall, who's, I think that's how it's pronounced, or Stanishall, yeah, who's Stanshall, part of the Bonzo band. He wrote a song called "Can Blue Men Sing the Whites?"
I like that. Yes. Ian, who is this claiming that he has a right to sing the blues?
I've got a right to sing the blues. I've got a right to feel low down, low down.
Dennis is writing it.
I think so.
He's writing a long word. It must be right.
He has written the magic names Jack Teagarden.
Yes, that's right. It was Jack Teagarden singing a song by Harold Arlen, "I Got a Right to Sing the Blues." Right. Dennis, your turn. Who's this suffering with the blues?
Sometime, someplace, I did someone wrong, and now I'm suffering with the blues.
Do you want me help?
No, I think that's the lady who, if Ella Fitzgerald ever needs a replacement, will be the replacement.
Well, that I would buy that, but
would
who
you?
Do you mean?
Yes. Well, I once said that about Jack Jones being the possible replacement for Sinatra,
yeah,
and I had a lot of opposition to it, but I would back her as Nancy Wilson.
Nancy Wilson, yes. A very much underrated singer, I think, these days, yes. Not Sir Harold Wilson, but Nancy Wilson.
Right. Well, all the help I was going to say was that it wasn't Joan Sutherland.
No.
Here's a quick round about dreams. John, when did Newman's dream become Elgar's dream?
When Elgar wrote the dream of Gerontius, or Gerontius.
Which do you prefer, Ger or Ger?
I don't like the piece.
That's a sweeping statement. None of it.
It is, yes. I've never liked it.
None of it?
Not really,
even
no.
One little...
Well, just a sort of, you know, three winks.
Not even softly and gently towards the end, dearly.
No, I find it mawkish.
Well, there we are. Well, you answer the letters, won't you? What I wanted was...
Yes.
What I wanted was a year, actually.
Oh, the year. About, I don't know, 1903 or 4?
No, earlier, 1900. First produced in Birmingham, 1900. Dream of Gerontius. Yeah. Frank, you stepped out of a dream. Who sang that first?
In a film?
Yeah.
From Hollywood?
Yes.
Wasn't that dreary, high-voiced Kenny?
No.
This was before
he married Sid Charisse, I think.
Oh, don't give me a clue.
No, I wouldn't do that. No.
I think it was Tony Martin,
have
thought.
Yes, you got it straight away, yes. Ian, I dreamt that I dwelt in marble halls. Who put that dream into an opera?
Balfe.
Yes.
Lovely song that was written by Kenneth Alwyn, which started off deep in the African jungle, in the burning tropical heat. A man sat playing a violin in a manner remarkably sweet. He played Bach and Grieg and Debussy and some lighter composers like Balfe. But the music that he liked to play most of all was the music he'd written himself.
Lovely.
Oh, sorry. Lovely. Very sad song about a deaf gorilla.
but it was Balfe, yes.
It was
really
Balfe.
Difficult to write a happy song about a deaf gorilla.
I know something else about I Dreamt I Dwelt in Marble Halls. I think that the libretto was written by the untrustworthy Bun, who was the theatre manager for MacReady, the actor. And they had a punch-up, and MacReady bit the untrustworthy Bun on the little finger, and Bun was awarded £100 damages. How all that sort of welled up, kind of sump somewhere.
How terrible.
Is it true?
How terrible to go down to history forever as the untrustworthy bun.
Oh, your blood goes on.
Yes. A certain frisson, yeah. We were talking about dreams, were we not? Dennis, where did two dreams meet?
Two dreams met. They kissed and they said, they kissed and they smiled and departed. That was Betty Grable and Don Ameche.
Yes, in the film.
In one of the films that Betty Grable and Don Ameche. Down Argentina Way. Yes.
Yeah, Down Argentina Way. Yeah. And it was sung in the film by that group with a very clever name, Six Hits and a Miss.
Was it?
Yeah, Six Hits and a Miss there.
I thought they sang it. I thought Betty Grable and Donovan.
Well, maybe they did eventually, but it was sung by Six Hits and a Miss. The final round, the singing round this week, concerns the good life. Beautiful dawns, comfortable chairs, sunshine, the good old days. John, Leoncavallo's Mattinata, about a beautiful morning. Ready-made, I would have thought, for your voice, and I would guess around the key of D-flat, which I will give you.
L'aurora di bianco vestita già l'uscio ti schiude al gran sol di già con le rose sue dita carezze di fiore da suol commosso dal fremito arcano il tornai creato già par e tu non ti deste ed in vano mi sto qui dolente a cantare. Metti anche tu la veste bianca e chiude l'uscio al tuo cantar. Ove non sei la luce manca, ove tu sei
l'amore. I don't know.
Frank,
every week he comes out with
a room somewhere with one enormous chair. Which was an Isaac Doolittle's idea of heaven, remember?
All I want is a room somewhere, far away from the cold night air, with one enormous chair. Wouldn't it be lovely? Lots of chocolate for me to eat. Lots of coal making lots of heat. Warm heart, warm hands, warm feet. How good, and it'd be lovely. Oh, so lovely sitting absablooming lutely still. I would never budge till spring. Bing, over me windowsill, someone's head resting on my knee, warm and tender as she could be, who'd take good care of me. Oh, wouldn't it be lovely, 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 lovely.
Dennis, when
you nearly cheated him out of
his code,
you? Well, I thought he wasn't going to do it. I thought he wasn't, and then he was, and then he did, and then I didn't, and it's all calamity. Dennis, when you pretend you're gay, you never feel that way. You're only painting the clouds with sunshine, right? Before gay took on its present.
Before it, yes. With the hormone therapy, yeah. if I pretend I'm gay, I never feel that way. I'm only painting the clouds with sunshine. If I hold back a tear, it doesn't matter, dear. Steve, I think We had the right idea, actually. Who was it said? We do the album, and we call it Music for Deaf Gorillas.
Right. Ian, your turn. 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago.
Okay.
Day me old chico, when first you graced me head. What time I wore me sabre tash, me spurs and jacket of red. I mind the dainty little lass whose cheeks were all aglow, when first she took a kiss from me beneath me old chico. When first she took a kiss from me beneath me old shackle. Hey-ho, hey, rain or snow, here's a health to all the pretty girls we used to know, and here's to every soldier man who wore an old shako. 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago. And here's to every soldier man who wore an old shako. 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago.
Dictionary definition of shako: more or less cylindrical military hat with plume or tuft. I thought you'd like to know. You might also like to know that it's been a victory this week, a very tiny victory for Ian Wallace and Dennis Norden. Goodbye.
Taking part in My Music were John Amos, Frank Muir, Ian Wallace and Dennis Norton. The chairman was Steve Race. The questions were compiled by Steve Race and the program was produced by Tony Schreier.